Good evening, I'm Lister Sinclair, and this is Ideas.
In one of my books, The Facts of Life, I told a true story about a married couple who had lived together and were close together for a number of years. One afternoon, when she had been asleep upstairs in the bedroom, she came down the stairs, and there was her husband lying on the living room sofa with a naked woman. He was naked, she was naked. And she didn't know what to say, looking at this sight, 4:30 in the afternoon in her own home, and nothing like this had ever occurred. She said, what is that woman doing in my house, on my sofa? And her husband, without missing a beat, turned round to her and said, that isn't a woman, that is a waterfall. And she felt as though she was spinning around and she might faint. She had to hang on to her sense of reality, that because she had developed the ingrained habit of trusting him and believing him. And see, some people in that moment of vertigo lose themselves by believing what they're told at the expense of then you can't believe your eyes, you can't believe your ears. He said, that is a waterfall. She believed him. On the other hand, this waterfall had all the appearance and shape of a naked woman on a sofa, but that was impossible. It was impossible, because it couldn't be. So, I mean, was she dreaming? Was she in the middle of a dream? Is this real?
R.D. Lang is a psychiatrist and a social critic who is best known for his books The Politics of Experience and Sanity, Madness and the Family, published in the 1960s. These books were written following 15 years of experience as a psychiatrist, first in the mental hospitals of Glasgow, his hometown, and later in clinics in London. In these books, Dr. Lang questioned the right of society to declare itself sane and others mentally ill. He was aghast at what he called the outrageous violence inflicted on mental patients, especially electroshock and heavy medication. His attacks drew attention to the dark and repressive potential of psychiatry. Dr. Lang's critiques and his experiments with mind-expanding drugs like LSD gave him a reputation as something of a wild man in a conservative profession. His patients saw a different man, calm, compassionate, and aware. His experience with troubled people led him to develop a style of therapy that is often called an existential approach. R.D. Lang is now 62 years old. He is retired from practice and makes his home in Austria. But he travelled to Vancouver recently to address the BC Psychological Association. Gary Marcuse met him there and recorded the interviews and piano sessions that make up this three-part portrait. Also appearing in these programmes is Andrew Feldmar, a psychologist who studied with Lang in 1974. Dr. Lang's visit to Vancouver was arranged by Patricia Walensky, the registrar of the BC Psychological Association. Like many students of the 1960s, Dr. Walensky was inspired by Lang. But she lost track of him in the years that followed.
I was never really able to get a firm handle on his guru period. My understanding of it was that he, in either 1969 or 1970, in the early 70s, went away for a year to a monastery in Ceylon and meditated for a year and then came back and was different and sort of went for it then, you know, go big or stay at home. Like, he just went for it. And then he became sort of the guru and went around North America expounding on reality for lots of totally bombed out recipients. I missed all that, really. I never could get a handle on that, and I don't remember hearing too much about him in those years at all. The last time I saw him until recently was in 1971 or two, when he came back from his year in the monastery, and he gave an address at the Assembly Buildings in downtown London, large place with balconies. And I travelled up from Gravesend, where I was working as a psychologist at the time, with a friend that evening to hear him. And we came into the hall and we sat there and we waited, and he came on the stage wearing a simple white tunic sort of a thing and pants and sandals. And this probably has no impact on you sitting here in 1988 in North America, you know, the fact that he came on the stage to give an invited address in sandals. But, I mean, that was a very unorthodox thing to do in Britain in the early 70s. Psychiatrists and psychologists and others wore three-piece suits and they wore black Oxfords. You know, they did not come to give addresses to large audiences of people wearing bare feet and sandals. So that was the first thing.